Yes, the harvest time is coming on. And thankfully, through Jesus Christ, made it possible, in accordance with God's plan, for us to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so very thankful that you are here tonight. For those who weren't here this morning, we'll continue with our thoughts from this morning, from Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And so we're talking about the root of the righteous as we think about being planted in God's Word, the importance of God's Word as we read and study and meditate upon it, and hopefully are doing that on a daily basis. And as we think about that, we're eating every day. Well, hopefully we're getting and partaking of that spiritual food, which will help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, real quick, and talking about the root of the righteous, are established in Christ. We notice from the root of Jesse and the fulfillment of those passages in that's on the screen. The root of the righteous are growing and overcoming the world's temptations. As you think about the seed that's planted, and hopefully we had the good and honest heart that will hold fast to the Word of God and bear fruit with perseverance. So we're doing that instead of fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And so those were the main points that we were making this morning. There were so many thoughts on the subject as we look in the Word of God, as we think about the foundation of our life, the support of the truth, and the importance of the root to the tree, and that the root should be important to us as we want to be useful in the service of our Lord and prepared for every good work that He would have us to do. So the root of the righteous are grounded in the love of Christ. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesian brethren here. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Ephesians 3, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. In Ephesians chapter 3, the scripture says, "This reason I bow my knees before the Father," Apostle Paul is speaking by inspiration, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ," notice it, "may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Being rooted and grounded in love. That Greek word rizao, that word for grounded here, to render firm, to fix, to establish, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. The way that the Heritage Dictionary that you can get online, the online dictionary, would say mentally stable, admirably sensible, realistic, unpretentious. And so as you talk about being grounded, what are you grounded in? Because if it wasn't for the love of Christ, none of us would be saved. And as you think about the response to that love in obedience, we mentioned that this morning in John 15, verses 9 and 10, concerning our response that He loved His Father and did His will. He loved us enough to die for us. And so the love of God is to keep His commandments, as mentioned in several different passages. And here He desires that what? For the prayer for the Ephesian brethren, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is something as we think about concerning the comprehension of that, but the desire of God's will is that we attain to that. And sometimes we think about the limit with which we are saying our prayers. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all of that. All that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. And as we talked about the power of God and the creation, and since that period of time, concerning that everything reproduces after its own kind, and we think about concerning us being granted the love of Christ, that we can grow, that we have the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That doesn't mean that knowledge isn't important, but the realization concerning the love that's behind that and the response that we should have in that. In chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9, I'm not going to read through all of that passage, but it encompasses all of our lives. For in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. You think about concerning your parents, and hopefully that they loved with every fiber of their being. But our Heavenly Father loves you even more. And as we think about our perfect Heavenly Father, that we should imitate God as His beloved children. In verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We mentioned this morning concerning Christ giving Himself up for us voluntarily. His life was not taken away from Him. He gave up His life willingly, and we're told to walk in love and have that kind of love and being grounded. The root of the righteous are grounded in the love of Christ. And so as a result of that, verse 3, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetous must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Why would we be interested in that? When Christ gave Himself up for us, the desires of fulfilling the lust of the flesh, as we mentioned this morning. And so let no one deceive you with empty words. They don't have any interest in your soul. It's because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So don't partake with them. Why? Because you're light in the Lord. And so as He says here in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that are done by them in secret. Have no fellowship with those things. Why? Because the root of the righteous are grounded in the love of Christ. These things that God hates, and the reason why Jesus Christ is put on the cross, He provided salvation so we can be redeemed from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people of His own possession, who are zealous for what? Not for evil deeds, but for good deeds. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. And so as we think about walking as wise men, the days are evil, verses 15 through 17, we ought to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so as we think about the chapter and way that we are grounded in the love of Christ, okay, talk about concerning application to our lives. As we think about the husband-wife relationship, if we're grounded in the love of Christ, that as husbands, we're going to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Wow, that is true sacrificial love. And where did we learn that from? We learned that from the love of Christ. And so that we put that into practice. Are we perfect? No. Obviously, we're not perfect in husbands. But to the best of our ability, in grounded love of Christ, we're going to love them and not going to look selfishly to our own needs, but we're going to see to her needs, to her physical, emotional, spiritual, and psychological needs, what she needs, and provide for her, to nourish and cherish her as our own body. And as you think about concerning the sacrificial love that the wife has for the husband, and submitting to their own husbands as to the Lord. And so she willingly submits to her husband's as to the Lord. That sacrificial, submissive love. And she shows respect for her husband, as verse 33 talks about there in that passage. So if the foundation is there, if we're grounded in the love of Christ, as we remember Gary and Gail's 57th anniversary today, and to be able to be with them today, a joyous time. You think about so many grounded in the love of Christ, being able to live. How is that possible? Because they're stuck together like glue in Christ and following his requirements. They're imitating God as his beloved children. And we can all do that. We can all practice that. And many are here as far as putting that into practice. And so thinking about the future who have not decided to get married, the only way that it's going to last in a way that God is pleased with is if you're grounded in the love of Christ and treat each other the way that God has treated you with love and respect. And you think about the foundation for the children. How sad and how tragic it is that multitudes of individuals have seen either one or both parents marry, divorce, and remarry. And as a result of that, there's a dysfunctional homes as a result. And they don't see any evidence of what the Bible teaches. We can provide that example to others as being a light for Christ in this dark world of sin. And so the children, hearing them following, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise. Why? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so we see concerning the fathers, a responsibility to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Is that hard? Is that difficult in this wicked and perverse generation? Yes, it is. But we love our children, and so we don't withhold discipline from them when they need it, when they need to be rebuked, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. Proverbs 22, verse 15, and many other passages on discipline in the Old Testament. And so, going to praise them when they do what's right, and discipline when they do what is wrong, so that they might understand the boundaries of God's word and God's will and God's way. And it's all out of love. And continuation, as we think about in the workplace, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would what? As you would Christ. Wow, that's another tough job. But if we're grounded in love of Christ, we recognize concerning that our earthly masters may not be good and nice. They might cause us a lot of trouble, but I mean, we're not going to lie to them. We're not going to lie for them. But the whole thing is that we're going to obey them as we would Christ. We're going to do it just when the boss is looking at us, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. Notice the evidence of Christ here in throughout this passage here. Doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Well, you know, the masters, they've got it easy. They don't have to obey. No, masters, those employers, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. As we think about every relationship, we're going to be better husbands and better wives, better mothers and fathers, better children, sons and daughters, as a result of being grounded in the love of Christ. Every area of our life. With our teachers, with our classmates, we're going to be grounded in love of Christ, and that's going to be demonstrated to others. In 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul says these words. He said, the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, for what purpose? That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Wow, what a powerful statement that is. As I think about, you know, going into the military, living for yourself, you know, in your parents' house, and things are generally pretty easy, and then you go into the military, you're no longer living for yourself. You're living for Uncle Sam, and what Uncle Sam says, that's what you do. As you think about concerning that Uncle Sam, or those who are in charge aren't going to love you like the Lord loves you. And as we think about the love of Christ controls us, for what? As you look at the Apostle Paul, he would be the poster child for being a terrorist of Christians, wouldn't he? And yet, through God's grace and mercy and love, that he could be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Hebrews 6, verses 19 and 20, the Hebrew writer is encouraging these brethren here. In Hebrews chapter 6, to realize that God doesn't lie. He kept his promise to Abraham. Through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. We mentioned about the Gentiles being grafted in. As you think about the Jews being rejecting the gospel, the Gentiles being grafted into the branch, being a disciple of Christ, those who have obeyed the gospel. And here in the context, the promise made to Abraham in verse 13 and following. And so he's encouraging these brethren, it's impossible for God to lie. Verse 18, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So we have an anchor, as we sometimes sing the song in 496, we have an anchor that keeps us soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in what? In the Savior's love, reflecting the truth of what we see in the scriptures. What a beautiful hymn that is. Where is your soul anchored? Where is it grounded? If it's not in the love of Christ, you're not going to get the love of this world. All the temporary pleasures are all going to pass away. The root of the righteous are grounded in the love of Christ. The root of the wicked is in the things of this life, whatever pleases the individual, whatever pleases you. Also, the root of the righteous shall not be moved from God's word. In Psalm chapter 1, in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, what a wonderful passage this is to think about and to consider on who is the blessed individual. In Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is where? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And notice as you think about the foundation principle here, as you think about the roots that are there. Because here you're thinking and you're meditating upon the word of God. Your delight is in it. You're meditating on it day and night. And what does the scripture say that you are like in verse 3? We talk about the trees as a foundation of God's power since the third day of creation, that we see in the trees as evidence of God's power. Notice here, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. He's trying to, the emphasis is on spiritual things. You might be wealthy and well off, but the whole thing is that you don't have a love of money, because you're going to be sharing it with others, according to 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. But here, verse 4, the contrast. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. How is that possible? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We talked about the shepherd and the sheep as we've been studying the book of John in John chapter 10. The shepherd knows his sheep. He knows if you are living and abiding in his words, that you're not moved from his words. And isn't that a wonderful blessing that we are hearing and following the words of Jesus, and we're not going to be moved from God's word, because we recognize he knows the way of the wicked will perish. He knows the way of the righteous, and you'll be like a tree planted by streams of water. And you think about this beautiful, serene picture, because you're rooted in the word of God. That's where your foundation is. I wish this was in our book. I would have had Jeff lead it. But for those who are older, yes, and the Sacred Selections book was here before RJ's book. I've looked, and this is the one I grew up with. But I shall not be moved. Every time I read this passage, I think about I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. That's in verse 1. It's right from this passage. Very powerful scripture to think about and to consider. Are you going to be moved away from God's word? Are you going to be moved from frowns or fears, as we think about concerning the song that we sing, 4:15, concerning honoring Christ? Let me think about what it was here. Didn't have it. 4:15. To Christ be loyal and be true, he needs brave volunteers. To stand against the powers of sin, move not by frowns or fears. You're not going to be moved from frowns or fears of others or the persecution of others as you think about those who are trying to turn you away from the Lord. And very likely your friends, neighbors, and loved ones have been doing that. Or maybe those who are ungodly, those who departed from the truth, and by their lifestyle, by their words, by their actions, trying to turn you away. But I shall not be moved. Why? Because I'm anchored in Jehovah. I'm anchored in God's word, in God's will, in God's way. So I'm not going to walk with the wicked. I'm not going to stand with the sinners. I'm not going to sit with the scoffers who have turned away from God's word or are living a sinful life. In Psalm chapter 21, in verse 7, here King David says, "The king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." The connection is, you think about being grounded in the love of Christ, you're not going to be moved from God's word and God's will and God's way. The whole thing is that we've got to hold fast to that. The same thing on the passage at the beginning of the lesson in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 3. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 3, where Solomon says, "My inspiration is still true." He said, "No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved." That doesn't mean that we're not talking about he's going to be sinless, because we know 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the whole thing is that we're going to confess our sins instead of making excuses or justifying or rationalizing or blaming on somebody else. Why? Because we know he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as you think about the connection between grounded in the love of Christ, and we talked about Ephesians 5, verses 1 through chapter 6, verse 9. In all of our relationships, if we're grounded in the love of Christ, it's going to be demonstrated to others. We're going to love them as Christ has loved us. And what does he say right after that in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10? In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10. Wow, that is hard. That is hard to do. Well, as you think about Christ and what he did for us, you know it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured through that. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus when we are thinking, oh, this is impossible. This is too difficult. So in verse 10, here's how we're going to do it. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. That's what I want to know. How am I going to be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might? How am I going to do that? I need some kind of miraculous kind of power, spiritual gifts in order to accomplish that. No. No. What does he tell us? Put on the whole armor of God that you have to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may have to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. You think about concerning the, if you're running away, there's no protection for the backside. He's saying, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. The root of the righteous, not moved from God's word. Why? Because we're putting on the whole armor of God. As he continues in verse 14, how are we doing? How are we doing that? Having fastened on the belt of truth. If those who are here this morning, did we read that concerning Christ? When he had the belt of truth in Isaiah 11 and verse 4, looking back at that passage. The belt of truth, we can put that on. That's going to hold everything together. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Because as we think about the gospel of peace, we want souls to be saved. We don't want to kill others. As we think about in battle, hey, you know, you got to battle the enemy. But our battle is that those who are enemies might be saved instead of destroyed, if at all possible. So we put on the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish what? Some of the darts of the evil one? Most of the darts? No, he said all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times of the Spirit with all prayer and petition, a prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Look at the power of the word of God. If you're rooted, if you're righteous, the root of the righteous shall not be moved from God's word. Does that describe you and me? No matter what, how others are tempting me, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to lead me, Savior, lead me lest I stray. We sang that earlier. As we think about that prayer, when we are going through difficulties, when we are run down and we think that we cannot make it, we can't endure, the Lord will help us through that. The brothers and sisters in Christ praying for each other, that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And we can do it because God said we can by providing the armor, the spiritual armor for us that we see in these passages. Well, as you mentioned about sowing the seed, we sang, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? In Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 30, and Solomon says by inspiration here in Proverbs 11, in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is what? Is a tree of life. As we think about the seed planted, here's coming from the roots and supplying to the tree, and here we're continuing to abide in Christ. Thinking about this morning, I am the vine and you are the branches. We're abiding in him, the nutrients, the water, the refreshment here from the word of God. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And who is the wise one? And whoever captures souls is wise. And the idea is winning souls to Christ. All right, not kind of capturing them and keeping them hostage. No, that's what the devil does. The root of the righteous will sow the seed to save souls. As you think about concerning seeds and plant, and concerning those using those seeds to be able to plant others and plant other trees, we think about concerning that Jesus Christ died for everyone. God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Notice that the Apostle Paul tells the gospel preacher Timothy here. 2 Timothy 2. He says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. Whew, that's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? Kind to everyone. A lot of evil, wicked, sinful people out there. Kind to everyone. Able to teach. Patiently enduring evil. How can we do that? For grounded the love of Christ. You can do that. You can do that. I can do that. And not moved from God's word by the arguments as they're trying to quarrel. And here you're kind. Soft answer turns away wrath. Trying to teach them the truth. You're enduring the evil things that they might say about you. The scriptures that you are using. Verse 25, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to what? Leading to a knowledge of the truth. In verse 26, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Yes, there are many who are deceived and are following Satan. Well, we might say, well, they're unworthy of salvation. Well, were you or I unworthy of salvation? No, as we think about that, God loved even the Apostle Paul who wrote this. He tried to destroy his church, consenting to the death of Christians, putting men and women into prison. You are faithful to the Lord, trying to get them to blaspheme. And you think about those faithful examples that were set before the Apostle Paul, even as Stephen is being stoned to death and praying for his persecutors, not laying the sin to their charge. What an example concerning the root of the righteous, sowing the seed to save souls. Is that what we're doing in our lives, as much as possible within us? I recognize concerning the rejection of so many. I know you have to, you can't throw your pearls before swine, lest they tear you up, as Matthew 7 and verse 5. But if possible, try to be at peace with all people, as Romans 12 verse 18 teaches us. Not seeking revenge on others, for we want them to be saved. So as you think about to the lost, but also concerning erring brethren, we still have a love and care and concern for their souls, even though departing from the truth. In James 5, verses 19 and 20, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Yes, he who is wise wins souls. Sing the hymn, from time to time, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day, number 568. Why? He's done so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. Didn't we just read that in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26? I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ that they his grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do his blessed will. Why? Because he loves me so. So in application, are you grounded in love of Christ or in the hatred of this world? For there are many enemies. The Apostle Paul said there are many enemies in the first century that he had. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. And even those would be some of the enemies with those who would claim to believe in God. Or those who were Christians. And as you think about those that he tried to teach, he was grounded in love of Christ, wanted them to be saved. He didn't hate them. He prayed for them. He wanted them to be saved. If you think about concerning the example of Christ, he learned from the example of Christ. So he was grounded in love of Christ. Are you and I grounded in love of Christ or the hatred of this world? Because as you look upon the hatred of this world, there's not much love going on out there. Talk about love, grace, and mercy. It's basically overlooking and compromising with sin and evil and wickedness. And a lot of times the only problem was with those who are faithful Christians who stand up for the truth of God's word. But we're not going to be moved by frowns or fears, are we? Are you holding fast to the words of eternal life or allowing yourself to be blown away by life's storms? Because we're going to have to hold fast. These are the words of eternal life. Because after death comes a judgment and then it's too late. The only ones who are going to stand are those who hear and obey the words of Jesus. We mentioned the passage in Matthew 7 and verses 21 through 27 this morning. Are you seeking for opportunity to save lost souls, or I'm tired of doing what's right? I'm growing weary in doing good. I'm getting older and it just, you know, nobody's interested in the word of God. And so I give up, I quit. Well, there's opportunities out there. So let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. The best thing we can do, plant the seed. God has promised to give the increase. Somebody else might water it. Here you plant the seed. Here you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life, the fruit of the Spirit. You're planting the seed. You're praying for people to be saved and not neglecting them, because Christ loved you enough to die for you. And somebody else, whether your parents or some or a loved one, taught you the truth of God's word, didn't give up on you. Lesson is yours. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, you need to be baptized for remission of your sins or need to be restored, God calls, we encourage you to come. Right now as we stand and sing.